This is the Adam Gold Show.
I think it's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite terms, Karen. I'm sorry about it for all people named Karen. We have a lovely Karen here, by the way.
We do.
I mean, just an absolutely. I'm not gonna say a perfect Karen because that could be taken the wrong way. She is fantastic. Karen here is not a Karen. Okay.
She's a fantastic human being.
She's a fantastic human being. That's what Karen should be. Unfortunately for people named Karen, you're associated now with that person.
Yeah. That kind of stinks for them.
It does stink for all good people named Karen. There's no question about it. All right. It's election day. Go vote.
Yes.
Please. Vote as many times as they will allow you to vote, which is just once. Just one time.
That's fair.
Okay. That's what I'm telling you. Don't break the law.
We can't create burners.
Vote once. No, there's not a Twitter. You can't vote on Twitter. One day. Well, I keep saying this, and I mentioned this on the most recent edition of the Kane's Corner podcast. At some point, Twitter's going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, Twitter's going to go away. Are you paying $8 for Twitter?
To be verified? No.
At some point, he's going to make people pay for it, too. It's not going to be a free app forever. There are going to be features that are going to be taken away if you don't pay for it.
Like what? Tweeting?
You're only going to get 8 tweets a month for free.
Okay.
So
I could do 4 Matt Rule videos in those 8 tweets.
Gosh. I have no faith in the future of Twitter. All right. We put out a Twitter poll, and the results will be announced here. What? Fan poll. Oh, look at that. It says fan poll now. So nice. Fancy stuff for TV. This is the Adam Gold Show. We have only the finest here. Dennis Cox sitting in for Victoria today. Who will have the highest college football playoff ranking by the end of the season? I should have specified regular season, right? Because a team that loses in the college football playoff, and it probably won't fall behind somebody else. Right, and we only gave you two options, NC State and North Carolina. And I voted. Did you vote, Dennis? Do you ever vote in the poll?
I can't. If I post the poll, you can't vote in your own poll.
Are you serious? You can't vote in your own poll?
No.
All right. Well, I voted. I voted for North Carolina. Who would you vote for?
I think I probably would have taken State.
Okay. Because it comes down to the final game. You're saying comes down to the final game in Chapel Hill this year.
Yeah, basically.
Will Carolina score 2 touchdowns in the last nanosecond to win like State did a year ago?
Yeah.
And I understand that Carolina's got the bigger hurdle, not the bigger hurdle, but the first big hurdle this week at Wake against an angry Demon Deacons team. This is not wishful thinking or anything. I think Carolina is going to win on Saturday. I think Carolina's offense is that good. I don't know what they were doing at Virginia. They were good, but they weren't their usual good.
Yeah, right? It seemed like Virginia had a flashback to 2021 Virginia on offense. Like, wait a second. They couldn't get the ball across the goal line in 4 overtimes against Miami, but then they start doing that?
Yeah, they put up 28 points. That's the most Virginia has put up against an FBS opponent this year.
Mm-hmm.
By a lot. They only had one other game this year where they had 20.
I don't think they scored that much against Old Dominion.
I think they scored 35.
Was it?
Against ODU, no. Richmond, they scored 35.
Yeah.
ODU, it was like 17 or something.
Yeah.
They're no good. Virginia's no good. So that game, Virginia had a lead. It was 21-17 UVA. Carolina scored 2 straight touchdowns and opened up a 10-point lead, and yes, Virginia did score a touchdown, but you know Carolina was obviously the better team, but it wasn't egregious, so it was a little bit of a concern. But I think North Carolina will score a bunch on Wake because they know they're going to have to. You don't have an option. Wake isn't going to be bad Wake for that long, and again, as we talked about with Connor O'Neill, I believe that. That was more about State's defense than it was Wake's offense. And while Carolina's defense is improving, there's only so much that they're going to improve. I do think that the whole bend but don't break defense really boils down to this. And I think the last time we talked to Ross Martin of Inside Carolina, this is the way I phrased it anyway. This is the way I think about it. It isn't so much that I am trying to eliminate the big play is as much as I'm going to give you short. I'm going to give you close to the line of scrimmage because I don't believe that you as a college offense are good enough, patient enough to just dink and dunk your way down the field without committing a couple of silly penalties, messing up a play you shouldn't mess up. Like, if you did that to an NFL team, you'd get beat.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't trust you as a college team to do all of that. So I think the odds are in my favor to play that way, a more of a passive defense. I'd like to see, I think when you play against a really good team, you have to do more. But if you're, like, I think Carolina's probably doing it the right way, especially since they don't have great defensive personnel. They have some good players, but they don't have great defensive personnel. I think Carolina wins this weekend, and it comes down to their game at State. And we'll find out what State is in the college football playoff rankings coming up this week. I actually think that they will be fairly close to one another.
Yeah.
I think you'll see Carolina in the 15 range, maybe a shade higher. I mean, they haven't lost since the game against Notre Dame, and that loss, oh, man, that loss is a good-looking loss now.
Yeah, exactly. Quad one loss.
No, it's not a quad one loss because it's at home.
Yeah.
It's a quad two loss, but it's not a bad loss. And I think State will be in between 15 and 20. I don't think there'll be a lot separating those two. But I think when they get to each other on Black Friday, assuming neither team has lost, I believe that you'll see Carolina closer to 10 than, much closer to 10 than NC State. Heck, if they're 10-1 on Black Friday, I think they go into that in the top 10.
Yeah.
Carolina. Especially with the win over Wake, because I think the committee still looks at Wake as a good team, even if they will not be in the rankings. I don't think they'll be in the rankings tonight, but they certainly won't be in the rankings next week if North Carolina wins that game. All right, I have one more question. This was not a poll question. And by the way, the answer right now, 57.5% said Carolina, 42.5% said NC State. I expected this to be pretty close. Here's my other question. All right. Let's assume Georgia 1, Ohio State 2.
Okay.
And I think it's safe to assume Michigan 3, but if you didn't want to assume Michigan 3, who is 3, 4, 5? If it's Georgia, Ohio State 1, 2, who is 3, 4, 5? I think 3 is Michigan. I think 4 is Tennessee. I think 5 is TCU.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you on that.
Even though
I think TCU stays in. I'm sorry, Tennessee stays in the top four.
Right. Tennessee still has the win over Alabama.
Yeah.
Alabama's not going to be, I mean, Alabama's probably going to be, what, 10?
Probably.
Right? Maybe higher, maybe 8. So Tennessee still has that win, and they have the win over LSU.
That's a quad one loss for Tennessee, by the way, at Georgia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, quad one loss.
What's higher than quad one?
Nothing.
A road loss at the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Tennessee will be 4. But Tennessee's got 2 really good wins and a quality loss. By the way, that's almost bingo. I've got bingo card ready for tonight. Here is my bingo card. Now, Saban, Nick Saban is the free space.
Of course.
All right. Left-hand column down, student-athletes.
Mm-hmm.
At the time they played.
Of course.
Right.
Talking about you, Oregon.
Settle on the field. Lot of football to be played. Quality loss.
Yes.
Left-hand column down. Second column from the left down. Eye test. Explosive offense. Game control. Balanced team. Who cares? Seriously, who cares? I don't care if they're balanced. Okay. Balanced team without their best player. That's that line, second row from the left. Middle row, much improved, middle column actually, much improved wins over ranked teams, Free Space, Saban, strength of victory, defensive metrics. It's a good one. Great program. This is the second column from the right. Great program, resume, history. They got healthy. Bad weather. All right. Strength of schedule, in conference, road wins, difficult environment, and data points down the outside.
Would you consider strength of record? Would you fall that under strength of schedule?
I think strength of record and strength of victory are, at this point, probably the same.
Okay.
Right? Strength of record and strength of victory are probably the same at this point. So you could do SOV or SOR.
All right.
All right. Or, in some cases, SOL.
Yeah, there's that, too.
But that's your bingo card for tonight, the College Football Playoff ranking show. I cannot wait to not watch it. Did you watch last? Did you watch last?
Night? Like, there's no point watching it
because all you're gonna do is, and I'll again provide this as a public service. There's so much other good television to watch on election night.
Yeah, I need to start season four of Titans.
I'm just pausing here so people can vomit in their mouths. So, yeah, if you want to watch tonight, that's fine, but understand that everything they say doesn't matter. Go into the show, understand. It's like it's sort of like The Bachelorette. It doesn't really matter. Nothing really matters.
Oh, it matters.
Are you a Bachelorette watcher?
No, not at all. Our good friend Josh Graham, big time into it.
I'm to each his own. All right, to each his own. I am not going to lie and say that I haven't watched reality TV at some point.
We all have.
I did used to watch Rock of Love Bus.
Okay.
Yeah. Not kidding. That was the Bret Michaels thing,
sure.
Right?
I'll take your word on it.
There was also, for a hot minute, Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. And I think the shot usually came afterwards. Just kidding. You'll get that. Think about it for a few minutes. You'll get it. So, but that was a long time ago in a different lifetime. Different lifetime. And maybe some of you are in that lifetime now. Brian Geisinger, my man, at BGeis_Bird, Pack Pride, everywhere else online, 24/7 sports, basketball maven. All right, the Wolfpack, they took out some frustrations, I guess. First game frustrations, if there could be any, on Nate James, Austin Peay Governors. It happens. Sorry about that, Nate. The Wolfpack looked pretty good. 99-50 was the final. Obviously, Turquavion Smith is their guy. We'll get to him in a minute. Who else was good?
Yeah, no governor on NC State's offense last night, it seemed. I thought you'd appreciate the golf
Thank you.
Joke there.
Very nice.
I thought several people stood out. I mean, DJ Burns, who settled right into 18 minutes. You kind of think he'll be in that 15 to 20 minutes per game range, but they played through him in the post. He was, perfect shooting from the field in this game? Or no, 5 of 6, forgive me, but had a nice game. They played out of the post, and I thought he did a nice job kind of whipping passes out of there. They got to some high-low game with him. And I would also say, like, Jack Clark had a really nice game, too. Certainly the three threes is good. But I thought what Clark did on both sides of the floor, because he's now in the role that used to be occupied by Jericho Helms.
Okay.
Before that, Torin Dorn, right? Which is this sort of, like, small ball four. So you got to be able to switch around, guard every position. You got to be able to rebound above your size. And you got to shoot so you can space the floor for pick and roll. And I thought Clark had a nice job. Like, he got some threes in the flow of the offense. He got a nice cut dunk off of a good pass from Jarkel Joyner. And I thought defensively he showed the ability to rebound and switch out and guard a couple different positions. So I'll say Jack Clark and DJ Burns last night.
What kind of assistance can Jarkel Joyner play for Turquavion Smith in terms of ball handling responsibilities, defensive responsibilities, things like that?
Yeah, I thought Jarkel had a really good game last night, starting with the defense, where he was just a bulldog at the point of attack, right? Like really applying that ball pressure, heating things up. And when you've got a guy like that, along with Casey Marcel, who can also give you some mm-hmm. of that point of attack defense, you know, you've got two guys that can be tough and physical on the basketball, and that lets Turquavion float around. And you saw him get a couple of steals, and I think he blocked a three-point attempt in the corner last night as well. And then offensively, Jarkel's a guy who's similar to kind of Darion Sebron last year, becomes the primary ball handler. You let Turquavion get off the ball, and, you know, he can either attack space off the catch or you can run actions for him. But just making life easier for Turquavion Smith, who's someone that's going to see a lot of defensive attention this season. And Joyner, look, he had a good game shooting, right?
Right.
Like he had some tough shots, and not every game he's going to hit tough pull-ups like that. He's not, in terms of, you know, you don't want to comp him totally to Sebron, because Sebron's, you know, much taller and has the yeah. ability to really get to the rim at an elite level. And Joyner doesn't quite have that. You saw Austin Peay switch out on him last night, and he couldn't turn the corner every single time against, you know, four opposing fours and fives, but he offers a pull-up shooting game that they didn't have on the ball last season with Darion Sebron. So I the fit last night looked really good with Turquavion and Joyner.
All right, we're going to get to Turquavion again, and we're not going to ignore him. He's one of the best players in the league. I want to spend a couple of seconds on him,
yeah.
but I kind of expected to see more from Breon Pass, Ernest Ross, and Ibi Diwana. So where are we with those three guys, do you think? Because if those three guys are who we thought they would be, then it looks like there's at least an eight-man rotation for Kevin Keats.
Yeah, with Diwana, first off, like, it's just tough. Like, the center rotation is crowded, you know? Like, they've with Mihorčić and with Burns, you know, you've got a lot of center minutes occupied already. And plus, we might see Ernest Ross at the center yeah. some this season. You know, he played, that was like almost exclusively where he played last year. Granted, NC State's, you know, front court was really thinned out after the Manny Bates injury. But we saw Ross mostly play the four last night. So, you know, we'll see how that goes going forward. The 1-3 Ross took last night went off the side of the backboard. But there may not be a ton of playing time for Diwana. And it is crazy because he was so necessary for their defense yeah. last season. And then the other one, Breon Pass, like, again, it's just there's some guys in the way with Jarkel Joyner and Turquavion Smith and Marcel. Like, they're playing a three-guard lineup, okay. you know? And so I think Pass will factor in there because they played some three-guard sets with Pass plus, you know, Joyner and Marcel or Smith last night. So I think he'll find some time. They need another ball handler. But, yeah, they're just right now – it really does feel like that top six or seven kind of have their spots, you know, locked up to an extent. So
right.
Pass will find time, I'm sure.
Let's get to Turquavion. You know, first team All ACC preseason. He was an amazing revelation last year. I just made up a word. let's kind of peel back on what Smith is like in year two.
He is truly one of the best players in the country, pretty safely right now, top 15 to top 20 prospect for the 2023 draft, arguably the best returning prospect in the country. And you could see it last night. I mean, the dynamic three-point shooting, the incredible range, and his ability to get downhill and yeah. get into the paint is going to be huge for them. He really struggled finishing at the rim in the half court. He was like, I think 35%. According to Synergy, at the rim in the half court last season. So, like, right. that's got to bump up. That's way low. And I thought he had some really nice finishes, hanging, finishing through contact. And I do think, to an extent, like, Austin Peay, you know, they made it a little easy on him. They put two on the ball, and he was just turning the corner or splitting those double teams every opportunity he could last night, getting downhill, getting into the paint. And as much of a, like, I mean, obviously he's an incredible scorer, just an absolutely yeah. nutty shooter who can also get into the paint, but he can really pass too. Like, he sees the floor and, off of some of those drives, he was able to get kickouts for threes. So I don't know. I really think Turquavion's got an incredible all around game, the handle, the deep shooting range, and just that kind of like twitchy ball handling ability and talent on the basketball. You can see it. Like, everyone knows who watches him knows that guy is special with the basketball. And look, he can do stuff with, you can take him off the ball too. They'll run him off screens, try to get him catch and shoot jumpers that way. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can feature this guy. And, you know, last night was sort of just them scratching the surface, I think.
All right, let me ask you one thing about Duke. I know you you also cover Duke because you cover all basketball anyway. But I know you were at the game last night, so I'm going to ask you about one player. Tell me what you like about Mark Mitchell.
Everything so far. He is a winning basketball player. Like, there's the defensive versatility aspect of him. Like, he's built to just switch around and guard a bunch of positions. But he, to quote the internet, he's got that dog in him. Like, yeah. he is a hustle player. He is a winning basketball player. Loose balls, he gets a ton of deflections, you know, blocking shots at the rim as a helper. Like, he's sort of everywhere defensively. And he's not, like, at this point, you know, he's going to have to work on his closeouts. His one-on-one defense, you can still take him off the drive. But just with that size, that frame, the athleticism, and his hustle, man, it's impressive. And then offensively, you just don't have to run a play for this guy, right? Like, he plays out of the play. The action happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Jeremy Roach runs a pick and roll. The defense rotates. Then you swing it to Mark Mitchell in the corner. And he can attack downhill. Like, he can beat up a scrambled defense. But even in the exhibition game against Fayetteville State, they posted him up. They used him as a screener. So it's the two-way versatility that I think really jumps off the page with Mark Mitchell.
All right, we'll obviously talk more about more Duke players and Wake players and State players as we continue with Brian Geisinger at bgeis underscore bird 24/7 sports. Pack Pride last night. I appreciate your time, man. Get back to doing whatever you're doing, and we'll talk again very soon.
Yeah, you guys be good.
All right, so we're going to get to halftime entertainment here in a second, but I asked the question before, and I put out a poll just to see what would be the case, and we'll get to some responses in a second. Let's just say, given tonight, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, because that's really how I think it's going to be. Michigan was 5 last week, right?
Sounds correct.
I think there were 5 last week. It went Tennessee 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Clemson 4, Michigan 5, Alabama 6. Mm-hmm. TCU was 7th.
Correct.
Michigan hasn't lost since that poll came out. In fact, they won. I mean, they just beat Rutgers, but they won. TCU, I think, beat Texas, right?
Correct.
TCU just they play Texas coming up.
They play Texas coming up, but they did win.
They beat Texas Tech. Yeah. So Michigan winning, I think Michigan really just bumps up. Their resume, it's on the bingo card, their resume is equally as unimpressive this week as it was last week, but they had them 5th last week. So I have no reason to believe that they're going to change their tune. It's not like TCU just beat an amazing team. So on Twitter, Eric points out, from October 1st to October 22nd, TCU beat 4 straight opponents ranked in the top 20. That has to mean something. I am not arguing that it doesn't. What I am arguing is it apparently didn't mean anything last week. So I've said this before. If TCU finishes undefeated, they will be in the playoff. It is a freaking lock. And I said this even with Clemson also being at the time undefeated. They're just not going to leave out a Power 5 team that runs the table. They're just not. By the way, those ranked teams were Oklahoma. Do you want to know about Oklahoma's record? 5-4, 2-4 in the Big 12. Kansas. I mean, Kansas was at one point fun. They were undefeated.
Yeah.
And then
they were everyone's darling for a moment.
Conference play. 3-3 in the league. 6-3 overall. Still good. Oklahoma State, legitimately good, I think, but also 3-3 once conference play started. And Kansas State is at least the highest ranked of those teams at 6-3 overall, 4-2 in the league, and I believe they're still in the top 25. So, yes, they beat 4 ranked teams, but And again, this gets back to the bingo card. At the time they played, they can use that to justify things. Like if I said Ohio State beat a top five opponent this year, and then I told you later that that top five opponent was Notre Dame from week one, it would lose some of the luster, no?
Yeah, it would.
Okay. So, but that's the reality, that these teams sometimes reveal themselves to be something they were not. I don't believe you can, unless something has fundamentally changed with the roster, such as at the time you beat them, they had one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and now they don't, and therefore that team has fallen apart. Yes, and this is where the eyeballs from the committee, I'm looking at the camera if you're watching on TV, eyeballs. The eyeballs on the committee will go, yeah, well, that isn't the same team that they were then. That would be the fundamental change. But I do think that TCU, if they win out, they will be fine. They play at Texas this week. Texas, by the way, is ranked. Then they are at Baylor. Baylor's not awesome, but Baylor's good, and that will be a difficult game to play. And then they close out the season with Iowa State, not good, and that game is in Fort Worth. That's where TCU is. So that's where they have three, certainly two difficult games ahead of them. If they win both those games, I believe they will be in the top four. And then if Michigan, Ohio State will eliminate each other. End of story. Neither team has played a good non-conference schedule. Iowa State or Michigan has not played a good non-conference schedule, although Ohio State's non-conference schedule is getting better as Notre Dame improves. Halftime.
Now, your halftime entertainment.
I've turned my mic off.
You did.
Oh, 1 second. I want to put the word out one more time. We need somebody.
Yes.
Who is a math whiz. I need a math teacher, a professor, somebody who maybe has a scientific calculator.
Nice TI-83.
Somebody, oh, yes. Can you say that on the radio?
Yes.
All right, good. Somebody who is proficient in math to help us out with a soundbite. All right, that's coming up. If we can do it in this segment, I'd like to do it. 919-860-5326. 919-860-5326. If you are a high school math teacher, that would be even better.
Yeah.
That would be better.
Middle school, that works.
Middle school math would also be okay. All right, Dennis Cox, get to work.
Yeah, because we need help with the Powerball because no one's won it yet.
Yes.
By the way, if you don't ever hear from me again, it's because I won the Powerball. Which comes out tomorrow. Next drawing's tomorrow.
Next drawing is tomorrow night?
Allegedly. Now, numbers were supposed to come out last night.
We got a back-to-back in a Powerball?
Well, we might. Well, technically, it did come out Tuesday. Because, again, there was a delay last night with Powerball numbers.
That's right. I'm sorry. The Powerball was yesterday.
It was. But really, the numbers were delayed because several states, or at least I know one, were a bit late submitting entries on time because there's different legal things you have to do to make sure things are in proper order, so the drawing was delayed. They said technical difficulty, so it was delayed till this morning, but nobody won. So now we're looking at jackpot, $2.3 billion.
Now the cash out is over a billion.
It's over 1.1 billion. Yeah, it's over 1.1. Again, this is the cash out after taxes.
Yeah.
1.1 billion. Now it's a little different with every state because every state has different tax laws, but this includes federal and all those things. But again, $1 billion. Literally, Tom Dundon did not pay that much money for the Carolina Hurricanes.
He paid roughly $450 million.
You think he'll flip it for $750?
You know, it would be interesting to know what the Hurricanes' value is.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if he would flip it for $750, I'd buy it.
Oh, wait. According to our friend Brian up in the mountain, Powerball winner is in California. Just broke.
What? What? Okay, I heard that there was none.
That's what I also heard that there was no
winner. There was reported earlier today that there was no winner.
Oh, man. Well, now I'm not playing again.
Well, that guy stinks. Or
how
she.
How do you know it's a guy?
I was saying, or she. That person stinks. This has ruined my bit.
I will not But let's ignore it.
Okay, ignore it. Yeah, we're ignoring that person out in California. Brian. We're ignoring that person in California because I had plans what I was going to do with the $1.1 billion.
Would you, like, if you found out that you won at, let's just say today.
Okay.
If you had found out that you won at 11:30.
Oh, today?
Today. Would I have been producing my own show today?
Potentially. Potentially. No, actually, I would have played it cool. I would have played it cool today. And then be like, oh, yeah, I got a thing. That thing is I got to go buy a mountain. That would be my thing.
That would you buy?
I'd buy a mountain. Like Blowing Rock, I own Blowing Rock
that's
now.
It's mine.
Yeah,
you know what?
I own it. Or you Franklin, it's mine.
You
Cashers,
could not,
I
don't think
too.
You could get Blowing Rock for $1 billion.
Probably not. I could buy like Cashers. You know what? Highlands. Highlands, North Carolina.
Newland. Fine.
You
could buy Newland for a billion.
I'm sure I could.
No offense to anybody in Newland.
No. Tommy I love this thing. I love those places.
I'm a big fan.
I love those places out west.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what I would do. But I guess, so yeah, someone did win.
We rented a place above the cabinet factory in Newland. They have a nice cabinet factory.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they do. In Newland, North Carolina. We rented a little chalet.
Very nice.
Up on top of the hill. I'm mad now that somebody won it.
Yeah.
Although it saved me $10.
There was one lucky winner. Yeah. Possible winner. I guess it did move up to $2.04 billion. Well, whoever won that, don't like him. Well, I bet a lot of people were upset because I know some people that went and bought Powerball tickets this morning.
Right.
Thinking that no one had won it.
So what is the...
I think it goes back to like $20 million or something like that, or $10
million. I don't want that. See, I'm not interested in playing for $10 million. Gosh,
neither
would,
do I, 'cause I have to keep working.
What a waste of time.
Exactly. Can't buy a mountain with that.
No.
Today's election day, as we've mentioned.
Yes.
By the way, Krispy Kreme is giving out free glazed donuts because of election today. So you can go in-store or the drive-thru. That's right. In-store or drive-thru. Anyone gets a free glazed donut. You can get it anywhere.
Do you have to produce an I voted sticker?
No. Just as a way. So as you're maybe driving to the polls or leaving from the poll, you can go stop at Krispy Kreme, get yourself a free glazed donut today.
Where we voted early on Saturday. And you can vote in your car.
Yeah.
They will come out. They actually have drive up voting. They will bring out, I guess they don't bring it out. It's out there. Bring it out to your car.
Yeah.
Sort of like going to Sonic.
Yes, there you go. But, yeah, you can go through the drive-thru at Krispy Kreme as well and get yourself a free glazed donut. You know who's not giving out free donuts?
Who?
Dunkin', because they suck.
Gosh, why do you do this? Why do you do this? First of all, much better coffee.
No one's going for coffee. You're going for donuts.
The Dunkin' Donuts coffee is really good.
Okay, that's whatever.
I've gone to Dunkin' Donuts just for the coffee.
Well, because it's
right?
A coffee shop.
And the donuts are great, but that's fine.
Shop.
And they're fine. If there's no need to take a shot at Dunkin' Donuts here.
No, I'm just saying Krispy Kreme's doing great things. Dunkin' isn't.
Whatever.
Yep. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That Dunkin's isn't.
All right,
know what Dunkin' Donuts is doing.
More news. No, that's the thing. We don't know because they're not doing anything.
Dunkin' Donuts perfected the part of the donut we don't eat.
Oh, the little hole?
The munchkin.
Yeah, whatever.
Munchkins are great.
I'm sure they are.
They have no calories. Did you know that?
Oh, I'm sure they don't. All right, more news regarding the Canes outdoor game. As we know, the Fan Fest is on that Friday before the outdoor game, which is on February 18th. So Fan Fest is that Friday downtown Raleigh from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Hootie and the Blowfish will be performing at PNC Arena that night as well. Do you think we can get tickets?
Yes, Ticketmaster.com. Oh.
They're not on sale yet. They have not announced the
date. Are you sure?
They have not announced the date yet. But I do know some places that are giving away as part of a contest tickets to the concert.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, I do. But that is kind of cool that they're tying it all in. And then that Sunday, the day after the outdoor game, State Carolina play each other in basketball.
Yes.
So it's going to be a really great weekend celebrating not just sports, but, you know, just really entertaining weekend in State North Carolina. By the way,
the state women also play the Thursday prior, I believe. Yeah,
they do. Now, here's something as well. Darius Rucker is not allowed to perform Wagon Wheel.
Oh, he won't perform.
He's not allowed to perform. No, I bet he will.
Oh, really?
Well, of course he will, because he's in Raleigh. He's going to perform.
Maybe he will.
But
yeah.
You know, here's the thing. I don't think he should be allowed to perform Wagon Wheel.
Why?
You know why? Because he's from South Carolina.
Yeah, but he's paying homage to Raleigh.
No, he's not. It's not even his
Somebody
song.
Somebody sent me a picture
it's
of him.
It's not even his song. It's Old Crow right. Medicine Show did it.
It's a traditional song.
I mean, it's a traditional song.
I think it's just like an old song, no?
No. It was written and performed by Old Crow Medicine Show.
How old are they as that group?
That came out in like 2003.
All right, well.
No, he ripped.
Darius Rucker owes them money for it, so you can't play a song like that without permission and some royalty.
Oh, I know. I understand that. But
he's probably made them a lot more money than they made from the song.
Old Crow version. That song's been covered by a lot of musicians, but the Old Crow version's the better one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just to let you know, Old Crow Medicine Show got their start out in Blowing Rock, Boone area.
Did they?
Yeah, just to let you know.
Did
that.
They?
That's where they really got got discovered by Doc Watson, who's from where? North Carolina.
He is.
Darius Rucker's from South Carolina. Just want to say. Final thing here: Star Wars: The Acolyte. Has begun filming. I know you're very intrigued by this.
No, I'm not.
It's
apparently
you are now.
Bob Dylan wrote the chorus?
Well, he actually does have... No, he didn't write the chorus. There are some lyrics of an old song written by Bob Dylan that Old Crow Medicine Show used, and they do give Bob Dylan writing credits.
Okay, well...
Yeah. Like, the Rock Me Mama part actually comes from an old Bob
Dylan. So it's a Dylan song?
No, it's not.
I just did a Google search for Wagon Wheel, and it says artist Darius Rucker.
How dare. How dare.
I'm with
How
you,
dare. All right, let me get back to Star Wars here before I start getting mad. All right, The Acolyte has begun filming. It's a Disney Plus show that takes place during the High Republic era that saw the Jedi Order really in its prime. So it's a couple centuries before Star Wars The Phantom Menace. That has begun filming. It's the first time we're going to see anything from that era of Star Wars. And I'm very excited by it. As you should be. Have you been watching Andor on Disney Plus?
No.
That's disappointing.
No.
You're missing out on a really good
show. I'm like 7 or 8 episodes behind in Welcome to Wrexham. I just have what when the hockey season started, man.
Yeah, that's fun.
I have not had any time to do stuff like that. None. I'm lucky to be able to watch enough games that help me get through this show.
Okay.
And so I want to watch the whole season of Welcome to Wrexham.
I guess it pays for me to be single, living by myself.
There you go.
That's that life. Darius Rucker should only be allowed to eat Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, that would be beneficial to him. So we haven't had a mathematician or anybody like that.
If they did, it's because I was talking. I wasn't.
All right. So we got to play the clip here then.
Okay.
So this is Jim Irsay. This is perfect for Halftime Entertainment. This is Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, on explaining, I guess this is sort of how good he is at building a football team, because he went deep on how good the Colts have been.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile. That's rare.
All right, I got a question. In the upper quartile, that is in the top 25%, right?
Yeah.
That's what that would mean.
So that'd be the top 8, yeah.
So of the top 8, we're in the top quartile of that 8. So my math says that that's 2.
Yeah.
So he says we have the fourth best record in the NFL, but they're not in the top 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's lying. We're not in the top quartile of the top quartile. We're in the top half of the top quartile.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he went all the way back to 2000?
2000.
All right. So the Peyton Manning era. And part of the Andrew Luck era. So last year, 9-8. Year before, 11-5. 7-9. 10-6, 4-12, 8-8, 8-8. So in the last, and they're 3-5-1 this year. So in the last 8 years, they have had a winning record just 3 times.
Okay.
It's kind of takes some of the luster off.
A little bit.
just a little bit of the luster off. So I didn't really need a math whiz, but I was. It would have been much more official sounding if we could have gotten like somebody who was a calculus professor to say, yes, the top quartile of the top quartile is 2 of 32. Oh, you're bumping with the old Crow Medicine Show.
Yeah,
very nice. Oh, it's good for that's fine. I support. It's not better than Darius Rucker, but that's fine.
I can cut your mic off.
I know you could.
Yeah.
I know you could.
So you might want to retract that statement, sir.
I don't dislike this. I love Darius Rucker's voice.
Okay. Yeah, but that song's nowhere better than this version. Okay. The original version. It's like trying to say like the remade Star Wars is better than the original.
There's a remade Star Wars?
Yeah, all the stuff you watch nowadays, like all the added stuff in there, didn't make the movie better, made it worse.
You are a little bit of a get old man yells at cloud.
Yeah, I am.
Why, I'm not even an old man yells at cloud, and I'm an old man. A little disappointed in you, Dennis Cox.
Well, I actually had someone call during the commercial break, backing me up.
Okay.
Yeah. And he said he was my age, basically.
He's also yelling at cloud.
Yeah, as he should.
All right, let's place bets.
That cloud needs to get out of the way.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you.
It is Slim Pickens.
Yeah.
Today. There is no NFL. There is no college football. There's some college basketball, but nothing that I'm all that fascinated by. And there is plenty of NHL hockey.
Okay.
All right. I lost all three of my wagers yesterday. Blues decided to continue to not win. I had half of the parlay, so I lost that. The Saints not only didn't cover, but it didn't go over 46.5, so I lost that. And I had Lamar Jackson to score the first touchdown for the Ravens. He did not score. He threw it, but he didn't score it. All right, sir. By the way, also yesterday, we asked the question, what is a group of Rams? Like, what is a bunch of Rams? It's a herd.
A herd of Rams.
A herd of Rams.
Yeah.
Because essentially a ram is a sheep.
Okay.
So, herd of sheep.
All
right. There you go. Just wanted to fill that in. You go first.
All right, Austin Matthews for the Tampa Bay Lightning. For the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Sure.
Scores the first goal tonight, plus 800 against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Austin Matthews.
First goal.
First goal at plus what?
Plus 800.
I love that. I love that. Don't let Joe Giglio hear you betting on somebody to score the first goal of the game. He gets mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm also going to go hockey. We're going to go a three-team parlay tonight. The two-team parlay didn't work. Let's try three teams. The Buffalo Sabres at home to beat the Arizona Coyotes. The Rangers at home to beat the New York Islanders. And Tampa at home to beat the Edmonton Oilers. If those all happen, it is plus 255.
Okay. I'll take your word on it.
Thank you very much.
Give me ECU men's basketball over Mercer, plus 105.
ECU over Mercer at plus 105.
Home game for the Pirates.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, let's do this. Sacred Heart is playing at Hartford. Do you know, by the way, who Sacred Heart's director of athletics is?
Jim Irsay.
Do you know who Bobby Valentine is?
Yeah.
Bobby Valentine is the AD at Sacred Heart.
Wait, what?
Yeah. He's the AD
like
at Sacred
former
Heart.
Mets
yeah,
manager?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still in the league.
It's tremendous. I love Bobby Valentine. Give me Hartford plus 275 to win it outright.
Okay.
I have no idea if Hartford's any good, but I'm taking Hartford to plus 275.
Okay.
All right, you're up.
Marcus Mariota scores a touchdown on Thursday against the Panthers plus 205.
Seems like good value for that, by the way. All right, my final one. And frankly, I don't know. I don't know. Give me John Fetterman.
Who?
John Fetterman to defeat Dr. Oz in the Pennsylvania Senate race at plus 130.
Oh.
He's an underdog.
Gotcha.
He's an underdog.
I was like, is this a welterweight fight?
No,
what
no,
are we
no.
doing
John
here?
John Fetterman at plus 130 to beat Dr. Oz in the Pennsylvania race for the Senate.
Oh, okay.
It's just nothing to bet on at all. I mean, I took Hartford plus 275. Okay. So, I mean, I could go Raphael Warnock over Herschel Walker also at plus money, but I'm staying away from that.
Okay.
That's too close to call. That's a toss-up race.
Yeah, give me that by submission.
Give it to us, all of us, by submission.
Yeah, seriously.
When is this day going to be over?
I don't know. Are you taking that win by split decision?
I can't. We're not going to know the winners of any of these races for like 4 days.
This is the Adam Gold Show.